starting the semester in a little bit of a weird place because we're right in the middle of the second parak of Maseches Makos, but it works out okay because the second half of the second parak has sort of like assorted sugyas that you could do one at a time. The first parak of Maseches Makos was a lot about Edom Zomim. We already covered that. The first half of the second parak of Maseches Makos is all about going to an Ir Miklat. If you kill someone with Shogeg, hey, you have to run to an Ir Miklat, and a lot of the details involved in that. We're holding on Daf Yud Aleph, and I wanted to go through. The reason I started before the Mishnah instead of just starting clean with the Mishnah is because the last little piece before the Mishnah deals with a halacha that actually came up in this past week's parsha, and that's very much Nogel Lemaisa. So I thought it would be kedai to discuss it since it's Nogel Lemaisa also. You know, one of the things for the guys who are new, one of the things we always try to do is La Suke Shmaitza Liba de Hilchasa. That we should learn a Sugya, we should learn a Gemara, and try to figure out how we get from that Gemara to Halach Lemaisa. That it's nice to learn Gemara for Gemara's sake, but we should remember that Gemara is also the most important Halacha Sefer that we have. The Gemara is a Halacha Sefer. It's the basis, the foundation of Halacha in Torah Shabbal Peh, so we have to know how to learn a Gemara. Lasuke Shmaitza Libidilchsa. Mordi Virabi Rav Shechter often says that, you know, a lot of times you'll go to Shiurim and someone will give you 55 Shitos in Rishonim on a certain topic, but 90% of them aren't Halacha Lamaisa, so we have to learn every single Shita in Rishonim. That wasn't the classical style of learning. Classical style of learning, you learn the major Rishonim and you see how the Halacha develops. You learn the Gemara, the basic Rishonim, and you see how the Halacha develops. And so I wanted to do this little sugya before the Mishnah. This little sugya before the Mishnah, let's start with about 10 lines before the Mishnah. Sefer Shatafru Bepishtan. This is, what does this have to do with Maseches Makos? A Sefer Torah or a book of Tanakh that you sew together using flax, using some type of material. What does that have to do with Makos? The answer is nothing. It has nothing to do with Maseches Makos. But right before the Mishnah, the Gemara has three different machlokos between Rabbi Yehuda and someone else. It's very odd. Sometimes the Gemara connects things like that, just like by the name of an Amora. Oh, this Amora said something, here's eight other things that the Amora said. And it will go on different things that have nothing to do with each other. So here, right before the Mishnah, there are three machlokos between Rabbi Yehuda and someone else. The first of them is Maseches Makos related. The first of them is about an Ir Miklat and about why it is when the Torah describes an Ir Miklat, it uses a Lashon of Vayidaber instead of Vayomer. So that's the one that's related to Maseches Makos. The second one is about what the Pasuk means when the Pasuk tells us that Yoshua wrote something B'Sefer Torah Selukim. That Yeshua wrote something in the Sefer Torah of God, which sounds scandalous to say, and that was the last year we had in the first semester, that to suggest that Yeshua wrote part of the Torah seems like apikorsis, right? It seems like a real problem, because we believe Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the entire Torah. So that was the second topic. Now the third topic is what I want to talk about today. So let's read the Gemara inside first. Sefer Shatafru B'Pishtan. You have a Sefer that is sown with Pishtan. So this too is the subject of a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and somebody else, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir in this case. Chadomer kosher, v'chadomer pasul. One of them says that such a sefer Torah is kosher, the other one says that such a sefer Torah is pasul. These are halachos that are not very familiar to the large majority of Orthodox Jews, because most of us aren't sofrim. When you're a sofrim, you have to worry about writing these things and preparing these tashmishei kedusha, sefer Torah and tefillin and mezuzah. So these are the zalef phase. You know this stuff, but we don't deal with this stuff all the time. Well, I don't know. What's the sefer Torah sewed out of? Is it even sewed? I never paid attention. Maybe it's glued together. I don't know. People don't pay attention to these things. But when you're but all the halacha governs every single one of these little details. So lemandi amar pasul, the one that says that it's pasul is dichsiv. Here's the pasuk in this past week's parsha. Leman tia Torah Hashem beficha, because the pasuk says that so that the Torah Hashem should be beficha, should be in your mouth. So what? What does that tell you? So first of all, what's that pasuk about? Whenever the Gemara quotes a pasuk, it's important to know what the pasuk is about. What's that pasuk talking about? Anyone look up the pasuk? What's the pasuk about? So you didn't even have to look up the pasuk. All you had to do is look at Rashi. Rashi tells you what the pasuk is about. It says Rashi, "Mantia Torah Hashem v'reishe dekra mishtai be tefillin." The pasuk is talking about tefillin. So right off the bat, it's troubling, and that's what's bothering Rashi over here. We quote a halacha about a Sefer Torah. When you make a Sefer Torah, make sure that you don't use Pishtan to sew the Sefer Torah. Why? Because there's a pasuk that says something about tefillin. What does tefillin have to do with the Sefer Torah? Pasuk says about tefillin, doesn't say about Sefer Torah. So says Rashi, v'iskish hacha Torah l'tefillin, that we're comparing Torah to tefillin in this pasuk, meaning the pasuk clearly shifts from tefillin to Torah, because it says l'mantia Torah Hashem b'ficha. So the Torah is linking Torah to tefillin. And that's what the Gemara means when the Gemara then says, v'iskish kala Torah kula l'tefillin. We compare, we link all of Torah with tefillin. Meaning all of Torah over here doesn't mean every din in the Torah. It means that we compare Torah, we compare actually writing Torah, the halachos of writing, of being a sofer, of writing stam, of writing sifrei Torah, to the halachos of writing tefillin. Mat tefillin halacha l'moshe misinai l'tofron begidin, afka l'tofron begidin. So if what do we get from this pasuk? All we get from this pasuk is one simple equation. Tefillin equals Torah. So whatever halachos we have about tefillin, we have to apply to Torah. What halacha do we have about tefillin? Well, we have halacha l'moshe misinai about tefillin, that tefillin have to be specifically stitched using gidin. What are gidin? The sinews of the animal, the veins of an animal. That's what you have to use to sew the tefillin together. You can't just use string. You can't just use thread. You can't use pishtan. You have to use gidin to sew the tefillin together. Oh, and the pasuk tells us whatever is true of tefillin is true of Torah, so that's what you got to use to sew Torah together also. So all we're getting from the pasuk is that tefillin equals Torah. What we know about tefillin, we don't know from the pasuk. We know from halacha l'moshe misinai that you have to dafka use gidin. So that's the opinion that says that you're not allowed to use, that you're not allowed to use pishta. You're not allowed to use flax, because we learn from the halacha l'moshe misinai and the pasuk, the combination of the two, that you have to use gidin. V'idach, but what about the opinion that says you are allowed to use flax? What's he going to do with the fact that we make this equation that the Torah itself links tefillin to Torah? If the Torah says that all the halachos of tefillin apply to Torah, so how can he say that you're allowed to use pishtan? You're not allowed to use pishtan for tefillin. Why would you be allowed to use it for Torah? V'idach ki iskish lemuter b'picha. When do we link tefillin to Torah? Only with regard to one halacha. With regard to the halacha of mutter b'picha, that just like by tefillin, the halacha is you need to make the tefillin out of a kosher animal, something that's mutter b'picha, so too when it comes to Torah, you have to make the Torah out of kosher animals also. You can't make Torah out of non-kosher animal. That's the link, that's it. No other halachos should apply from tefillin to Torah. L'hilchos of lo iskish. For the halachos, for the details of the hilchos tefillin, hilchos Torah, we don't make the comparison. It's only one halacha about mutter b'picha that has to be made from kosher animal. Amar Rav chazinu l'tefillin debei chabibi. Rav says, I saw my uncle's tefillin. Who was Rav's uncle? Rashi says, Rabbi Chia. Ditfiri bekisna, that it was tied with linen, that it was sewed with linen. V'les hilchos kafa, say, we don't pasken like that. We pasken that you have to use gidu. Now, does everyone agree? If I were to ask you, now that you read this Gemara, does everyone agree over here that tefillin needs to be made from a kosher animal? That does not seem to be a debate, right? Everyone seems to agree. Does everyone agree that Sefer Torah needs to be made from a kosher animal? That too seems to be agreed upon by everybody. Does everybody agree that Sefer Torah needs to be sown with Gidin? No, that's the machlokas. That's the point that they're arguing. So what's the root of this machlokas exactly? There is a hekesh very clearly that the Torah itself makes. You have a pasuk talking about tefillin, and all of a sudden, in the middle of talking about tefillin, says, Torah Hashem b'ficha. So clearly the Torah is linking tefillin to Torah. What's the machlokas? Not just... what's the detailed machlokas? Can you use gidin? Do you have to use gidin, or can you use other strings also? What's the machlokas about? Everyone agrees that there exists such a hekesh. So the question is, what is the scope of that hekesh? When the Torah links tefillin to Torah, is the Torah telling us every single last halacha about tefillin has to apply to Torah? Or is the Torah telling us there is something about tefillin that has to apply to Torah? If you say it's just that there's something about tefillin that has to apply to Torah, what is that something? It's only one thing. What is that one thing? It's got to be kosher. But if you say that it's everything about tefillin has to apply to Torah, so then it's not just that it has to be kosher, it's that you got to use gidin as well. Now, we should have kashas, we should think about each opinion and what the weakness in each opinion is. Just in general, when you learn. You have to think about what would be the weakness, what would be the drawback of saying each way. Clearly, meaning whenever you want to understand the machlokas, first thing you need to understand is what does everybody agree about. A lot of times people make a big deal out of machlokas. We think that, you know, sometimes kids will ask, they argue about everything, can we get anything straight? And the answer is, they don't really argue about everything. 99.9% of Torah people agree on. We agree you're not allowed to eat chazer. We all agree you're not allowed to murder innocent people. You're not allowed to murder people. We all agree, right? There's a lot of things we agree on. There's just like details here and there that fill up shas, you know, that we disagree on. But 99% we agree on. And whenever you want to understand a machlokas, you first need to know, okay, what does everybody agree about over here? So everybody agrees that there exists a hekesh. So everybody agrees that there's some link between Torah and tefillin. Everybody agrees that that link teaches us at least that it's got to be mutar b'picha, that it needs to be made with kosher animals. The whole machlokas is, does the hekesh teach us more than that? Does the link between Torah and tefillin go beyond that it has to be kosher animals? That's the whole machlokas. What's the weakness in saying that it goes beyond that? That the Torah teaches us by making this hekesh that you have to use gidin also, and that whatever you're going to say about tefillin should apply to Torah as well. So what's the weakness in that approach? Well, what other halachas do you know about tefillin? Give me something else. There are lots of halachas. You open up a Shulchan Aruch, Hilchas Tefillin, starts, they got to be black. Where do you know that from? Is it a pasuk? Halacha l'Moshe Misinai. Right? It has to be black. No, it's halachal Moshe Misina. It has to be black. So if you're going to make a hekesh, Torah and tefillin, you say Torah has to be black also? So the truth is it's a non-starter. Because what has to be black on tefillin? The ink has to be black and the ink of Torah has to be black also. But the batim, halachal Moshe Misina, have to be black. There is no batim on Torah. So that wouldn't be able to apply. It wouldn't be possible to apply from one to the other. But what about all the other? You open up a Hilchas Tefillin. You open up a Shulchan Aruch. Siman Chafei starts Hilchas Tefillin, and it goes for several simanim. So will we apply all of the other halachas of how to write the sefer the Tefillin to how to write Torah? If you write Shalok Hasidron, you write it out of order, something like that. So the downside of saying that the Hekesh goes beyond just teaching me about Mutar B'Picha is you then need to go through all of Hilchos Tefillin carefully and see if every single halacha that could apply to Torah would apply to Torah. Now, the other opinion that it's limited to just one din, just mutar b'picha, what's the weakness of that? Well, how do we know that what applies to Torah applies to tefillin? It's through a Gemara said it's a hekesh. One of the rules of hekesh is ein hekesh lemechza. You can't have a partial hekesh. You can't make a link and say, yeah, we'll link it, but a little bit. It'll be a weak link. So you're going to have to contend with that issue. That if you're only going to link it for this one halacha, mina mutar b'picha, that has to be something that's mutar b'picha, that's kosher. So why don't we link it with every other halacha as well? It's just basic analysis of why you would say one way versus the other. And we'd have to look around and Rishonim them and see how they deal with it. I don't want to focus, and I just want to raise that as an issue. What I want to focus on primarily is, what exactly are the, since everyone agrees to this din of mutar b'picha, what exactly are the parameters of mutar b'picha? Last week I had the privilege of davening in the Young Israel Woodmir Mincha Maariv, and in between Mincha Maariv Rabbi Wolf spoke, and Rabbi Wolf pulled out one of those markers. You ever see those tefillin markers to blacken your tefillin? So he pulled out a marker that had a badatz hashkacha. It said a warning on it, do not eat. because you're not supposed to eat them, and called poison control if you do. And it said that all the ingredients are only from kosher ingredients, but still don't eat it. It's all from kosher ingredients. And then he pulled out from another pocket another marker called Sharpie. And he said, what's the difference between this marker and this marker? Meaning, why is it? So someone right away screamed out, what's the difference? What's the biggest difference between the two? That one's 10 bucks and that one's 20 cents. Price, that's the difference. And that's correct. That's the biggest difference. But the question is there any halachic difference? Meaning, why not just take a Sharpie and color your tefillin in? What do you need a shkacha? You need a shkacha on your tefillin marker for? How much does that sticker cost that they put over the Sharpie to, you know, to sell it in the farm store? What's the purpose of the Ashkacha? So one potential purpose of the Ashkacha would seem to be to guarantee, to verify that it's mutter bepicha, that all the ingredients are kosher ingredients. I don't know if Sharpies are kosher ingredients. I can't imagine that they're not. Right? They're probably not using animal products to make a Sharpie. They're probably all artificial things, you know? So it probably is kosher ingredients, but no one's verifying that. I don't have a rabbi in Yerushalayim, you know, in the Badatz, verifying that. Is that required, though? Does it even need to be mutar b'picha? So what would you say? Would the coloring of your tefillin need to be mutar b'picha? The coloring of your tefillin. So the Gemara says very clearly, tefillin needs to be mutar b'picha. What does that mean, the tefillin needs to be mutar b'picha? Which part? So what would you assume? If you just read this Gemara, what would you assume? What has to be mutar b'picha? What? The batim, the parchment. What? The ink? The ink, yeah? So is the ink any different than the paint on the ritzuos? Why, yeah? Why? More Kedusha. Okay. It forms the actual letters that create the Kedusha of the tefillin.
Does tefillin have Kedusha without it being black?
They'd be possible without it being black, but it's still the parshios itself Kedusha. But without parshios, batim alone wouldn't be anything, unless they were previously
the ritzuos have kedusha anyway.
What?
Is the argument whether ritzuos have kedusha anyway?
Right, but we assume they do that. Tashmishe kedusha, at least tashmishe kedusha. So you would have to put them in Sheamus, right? Now, what we're going to be discussing is how broad is this din of mutar picha. But what I mean by how broad is this din, I mean that in two ways. First of all, within tefillin, how broad is it? How much of your tefillin has to be mutar picha? Does the paint on the ritzuos have to be mutar picha? What if you ever see ritzuos that are nice and shiny? Now, the Beauty has this long tshuva. This packet's only so fat because there are three tshuvas that reach 5 pages long that I didn't have time to edit down. But if you have, like, the Nadbuda has a shaila where they took some non-kosher fish fat or something and they shined up the ritzuos. Ritzuos are already black, but they gave it a nice gleam by taking some non-kosher fish fat and rubbing it on the ritzuos. Does that have to be kosher? Meaning, how far do we go within tefillin to say that you need mutar b'picha? That's one question. And the other question we want to deal with is, how far do we go outside of tefillin to say mutar b'picha? Meaning the Gemara says that we compare tefillin to, what did it say, what was the lashon we had? To kol ha'Torah kula. Kol ha'Torah kula is like tefillin. So does that mean that all of halachos, that all mitzvos, have to be like tefillin in that they need to be mutar b'picha? Or is it a specific hekesh between writing Sifrei Torah and writing tefillin? But not about other mitzvos. Now why would you say it would be only about Sifrei Torah and Tefillin? What would lead you to think that it's only about Sifrei Torah and Tefillin, not about other mitzvos? What? Because the Hekish is specifically about that. So why would anyone in their right mind think that it relates to other mitzvos? That other mitzvos also need to be Mutar B'picha? What would be the Svara to think that my tzitzis have to be Mutar B'picha? Because Torah might not refer to... What? Right, Torah might not refer to Sifrei Torah, might just refer to all the mitzvahs in the Torah, to all of Torah. And it all needs to be mutar b'picha. Maybe. That could be. Also, what we need to figure out is there a svara over here? Is this din of mutar b'picha, Is there some sort of logic? And if there is logic, would that help us? Would that help educate us in terms of the halacha? Why does it have to be mutter picha? What's so bad about using skin of a non-kosher animal? Are you allowed to make shoes out of a horse skin? You're allowed to make a football out of pig skin? Deflated, inflated, whatever. You're allowed to make whatever. No problem. What? Yeah, of course. I have a radio in my car. So you're allowed to... I have children. So you're allowed to use non-kosher animals for things. So why wouldn't you be allowed to use it for mitzvahs? What's the svara? And if we come up with the svara, so what would you think? What would the svara be? Then even if you come up with the svara, you got to figure out whether it matters. Meaning, once it's din d'oraisa, you can be darshin on time with the krah. We're going to say that I'm going to figure out the reason, and that reason is going to affect the halacha. But maybe it will help educate us in terms of how to proceed with the sugya. What would the svara be not to use a non-kosher animal? For tefillin. That's not true, though. You can't be nana from things that are asked.
In the realm of mitzvahs.
Can you have a pigskin football? Why not in the realm of mitzvahs? Why not? So you're saying it's a pasuk, zeris hakasuv, no svara. And that's certainly the pashtus. Certainly the most, probably the most correct. So if we had to think of a logic, though, if you had to come up with a tam for this zeris hakasuv.
The pasuk says,
Why would it make more sense? I'm not following.
I mean, just to keep things that were within the realm. I mean, you can go both ways because it is mutter just not to eat. So.
Yeah?
One of the reasons that why we say that stuff is not kosher, I think, is because there's something inherently bad in the animal, and therefore the Torah makes it usher. So there's something inherently bad in the animal, so now you use it for the kosher mitzvah.
Okay, so on a metaphysical level, if you want to understand a metaphysical level, that things that aren't kosher are inherently, they have klipos or whatever, things that you can't, that you shouldn't be. So it's a chutzpah. You're going to use this davar tamei to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu? A chutzpah. Right? That it's inappropriate. It's like ein kategor nas snigrom. It's like using tashmishi avodah zarah for your worship of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You shouldn't be doing that. It's a chutzpah to use such a thing. Now, that where I'm going with this is the following. There are a lot of ways that something could be not kosher to put in your mouth, something that you're not allowed to eat. There's what we call a behemah tmeah, a nevela, a trefa. Those are all different things. What's a behemah tmeah? A pig is a behemah tmeah. It's simply not a kosher animal. What's a nevela? So a nevela is a kosher animal. You just, instead of shechting it, you shot it in the head. It's an issur d'oraisa to eat nevela. Can you use nevela to make your tefillin? Pig skin, okay, you're not going to use to make your tefillin. What about nevela? It's not kosher, it's not mutter b'picha. So if you say like, you're saying like Blisko saying that it's a din in the, there's certain brios that have these, inherently problematic characteristics to them. Well, a cow doesn't have those inherently problematic characteristics, and it would be okay. All right, we'll get there. We'll get to all that. If this applies to other mitzvahs, if this would apply to other mitzvahs, what we're going to have to deal with is we're going to have to start going through mitzvahs and seeing which mitzvahs it does apply to and which not. When you build a sukkah, do you have to make sure that the walls of it, let's say you want to have a leather sukkah because you're weird. So you want to build yourself a leather sukkah. Walls of the sukkah are all going to be made out of leather. Can you use non-kosher animal skin to make your leather sukkah? What would you say? Yeah, you're allowed to. There's no din min amutar b'picha. Why not? Aren't walls of the sukkah a necessary component of the mitzvah? Absolutely. Is it a chefetz shel mitzvah? Absolutely. So why are you allowed to use non-kosher animal skin? Okay, so what about tzitzis? So what do you mean? Tzitzis is wool, right? So let's say you take... let's say you take the wool, not wool, I don't know if it would be called wool, but you take the hair of another animal and you make the strings. Would that be okay? Or you have a beged, let's say, of dalet kanfus, it's made of non-kosher animals. Would it be chayiv in tzitzis? Can that become tzitzis? Because the beged itself gets a certain level of tashmishe mitzvah. So does that become tzitzis if it's not kosher? Or, better, some of us have tzitzis with colors on them. So there's a blue color in some of my strings. So where does that blue color come from? This comes from a snail. Are snails kosher? No. Important. The one thing you come out of today with, don't order snail tonight for dinner. Snails are not kosher. So how am I allowed to have my tchelis made out of snails? It's not kosher. You need mutter picha. Okay, so all of this and more is what we need to discuss. But in order to discuss it intelligently, we have to realize that the primary sugya is not makos tafid aleph. The primary sugya, the real place where this gemara appears, is Shabbos in two places. Shabbos taf chavches and Shabbos taf kufches. So let's take a look at the gemara in Shabbos. Says gemara in Shabbos, source number two. Ve'la hadetani Rav Yosef, lo huchshu b'malecha shamayim e'la or behema tahora bilvad. That for Malachas Shemayim, you're only allowed to use the skin of a kosher animal. Now notice right away the difference between this Gemara and our Gemara, just the language. It didn't just say for Tefillin or for Torah. It said the Malachas Shemayim. Malachas Shemayim makes it sound like any mitzvah, right? So the Gemara says, L'may Hilchsa, where does this practically play out? What do you mean? Where do you need skin of an animal for any mitzvah that we have to say you have to use skin of a kosher animal? L'tfilin, for tfilin. So tfilin, behed yiksivu, l'man tiyat ar shem v'icha minamun ter v'icha. No, by tfilin, don't tell me that there's some sort of halacha l'moshe v'sinai that you're only allowed to use for melecha shemayim, kosher things. Tfilin, you don't need that. Tfilin, it's a pasuk. Beficha, it's got to be mutter beficha. It has to be something that you're allowed to eat. Ella la'oran. Rather, that's about the or. What does that mean? That's about the or. The or of what? The or of what? La'oran. So, a little bit underrated. People don't often realize that when determining the halacha, it's very critical to just get pshat in the Gemara each and every word. When the Beis Yosef analyzes any Gemara and he tries to arrive at a halacha, so most of the time what he does is he'll say the Gemara and the Rambam, the Rashba, and a couple of basic Rishonim, and say, okay, now here's the Rash and the Riff, and here's how it all plays out. But every once in a while, his emphasis has to be on Rashi. Just what's Pshat? What is it? What do the words mean in the Gemara? So I didn't even put Rashi over here, because Beis Yosef quotes the Rashi over here. Beis Yosef touches up this Gemara. He quotes this Gemara, Shabbos Chav Chesem Beis, that you're only allowed to use kosher animal for tefillin. Aye, but by tefillin, you don't need halacha l'moshe misinai. It already says a pasuk l'man tia toras shem v'ficha. And then he quotes, and then the Gemara answers, la oran. Upirish Rashi, and Rashi says, la oran or defus shalehen, shaksavim shal parshios munachim bo. Oran means the batim of the tefillin. The place where the parshios are put inside of. That's what we need halacha l'moshe misinai to tell me that has to be kosher. I frankly Gemara of Amar Abayi Shin Shel Tefillin Halach L'Moshe Misinai. No, but the Shin of Tefillin is Halach L'Moshe Misinai. So don't we already see that you need? Where's the Shin of the Tefillin? On the bottom, exactly. So the bottom are already covered by the Halach L'Moshe Misinai. So Mina Mutar Beficha can't be telling you about the bottom because the bottom are already covered in the Halach L'Moshe Misinai. Shin Shel Tefillin is Halach L'Moshe Misinai. Elo L'Korchon B'Sarin L'Tofren B'Gidon. No, it must be that it's telling us that when you wrap the parshios, I don't know if you've ever seen, when they wrap the parshios in the shel rosh, they fold them into squares, and in the shel yad it's not folded into squares, in the shel yad it's wrapped in a circle. They fold them into squares in the shel rosh, and they tie them with hair. And that hair has to be kosher animal hair. And to sew the parchments together, they have to sew it with kosher animal parts. Says Mara Hanami Halach L'Moshe Misinai. But wait, that's also Halach L'Moshe Misinai. D'Tanya Tzvilin Ruvos Halach L'Moshe Misinai Nichrachos B'Sa'aros B'Sa'aron V'Faros B'Gidon. That it's Halach L'Moshe Misinai. They got to use hair of animals to tie it together and all, and to sew it together. All that Ella. So what's the pasuk teaching me about L'Ritzuos? It's teaching me about the Ritzuos, meaning the batim, the parshios, the hair, the sinews, all of that I already know. Halach L'Moshe Misinai. So what's the minamutar b'picha? That's about the straps, the ritzuos. V'amar Rav Yitzchak ritzuos shcharos halach L'Moshe Misinai. But wait, don't I already know straps halach L'Moshe Misinai also? Because it says the black straps are halach L'Moshe Misinai. It says Gemara nihid gemiri shcharos toros mi gemiri. No. Halach L'Moshe Misinai only tells you the straps have to be black. The Halach L'Moshe Misinai doesn't tell you that the straps have to be kosher. So in order to teach me the straps have to be kosher, I need minamutar b'picha. So from this Gemara, which parts of tefillin have to be kosher? The batim, the parshios, the hair that ties the parshios, the sinews that sew the parshios together, the ritzuos, they all have to be kosher. Why do they all have to be kosher? Most of it, Halach L'Moshe Misinai. The ritzuos, minamutar b'ficha. So what this is telling us is, it's really limiting this minamutar b'ficha drasha. Minamutar b'ficha, l'mantia tarsha b'ficha, is very limited. Minamutar b'ficha is telling us only about ritzuos. Everything else is Halach L'Moshe Misinai, that it's got to be kasha. It's interesting, Rav Shlomo Kluger, and this is really a total side point, Rav Shlomo Kluger in his Tshuvas Ha'elef L'Chashlomo, I threw it in here as source number three. Ha'elef L'Chashlomo is a sefer where someone took Rav Shlomo Kluger's very long tshuvas. He wrote these very, very long, long tshuvas that were sometimes difficult to get through, and said, you know, he has these beautiful tshuvas and he has these important things to say, but no one's going to have the patience to sit and read them. So someone summarized 1,000 of Rav Shlomo Kluger's tshuvas. And that's why they called the sefer Ha'elef L'Chashlomo. Here's 1,000 of Rav Shlomo Kluger's tshuvas, and they're all like one paragraph, like this. So Rav Shlomo Kluger had the Shaila, the abridged version of the tshuva, reads that he said that in the town of Slonim, they had a batim macher. You know what a batim macher is? The guy who makes the batim. Mach in Yiddish is make, right? The guy who makes the batim of the tefillin. Who, it was very annoying. You ever see tefillin making? You ever do like the Chabad workshop or anything? Like, you know, like how they make tefillin? You ever go to any? No, you ever did this? They don't do this in a tiv. There's a room doing everything in a tiv. No, isn't there? So the way they shalvim, no. So the way they do it is they take the hide, they hollow it out, you know, this animal hide, this thick skin of the animal. They shape it into the shin, and it's very hard because, like, they're just scraping in the shape of a shin into this existing hide. So someone came up with this great eitza. Instead of shaping a skin and trying to make it pliable and shape it into exactly the shin, he had a great idea. Why don't I just take cloth, fold up the cloth like a shin, slap it onto the bayis of the tefillin, paint over it, it will look the same. It's all from kosher products. It'll be fine, and it'll look like a nice shin on the side of your tefillin, and it'll take a lot less work. So that's what someone came up with an eitzah to do. So Shlomo Kluger said, the whole town of Slonim apparently did this. Shlomo Kluger passeled all their tefillin. He said, I passeled kamameos tefillin. Hundreds of pairs of tefillin. Imagine that kind of achrayis to take on your shoulders? To tell hundreds of people that their tefillin are passeled?
What did
Rebbe say? Right. I don't even know if it was a chassidish town. I mean, some of them were chassidim because they were some of the chassidim, but I don't know. So, Hundreds of pairs of tefillin. So he says, and I, you know, it sounds like this weighed on him a little bit. Like, did I do the right thing? Did I not do the right thing? And he says, then I realize it's pashut in the Gemara that I did the right thing. Because what does the Gemara say? Why do I need two drashas? Why do I need Halach L'Moshe Misinai? And a pasuk min amutar b'ficha tell me that tefillin has to be kosher, the Gemara says. So he says, no, for the batim, you need one for the parshios, one for the batim, right? So you need the minamut reficha for the batim. So he says, no, I already know the batim. You know why? Because Halacha L'Moshe Misinai tells me shin shel tefillin is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So you already see the batim from Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. ask Shlomo Kluger, how do you see the bottom from the fact that Shin Shel Tefillin is Halachah Moshe Mesinai? Shin Shel Tefillin is the shin on the side of the batim. Who says that the batim themselves have to be kosher? Maybe that's where I need menamot to b'ficha. The Gemara never entertains that possibility. Once the Gemara says, oh, shin shel tefillin, you're right, so the batim are already halachah moshe mesinai, then we go on to the ritzuah. Oh, good, 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 good. Also, that's a very good point. We'll raise in a second. So just let me just finish Rav Shlomo Kluger. So said Rav Shlomo Kluger, so you see that it's self-understood that the shin is part of the batim, that it can't be a separate entity. So I was right to apostle all those hundreds of tefillin. Now say again, what was your kasha? Why didn't the Gemara say, what about the shaliyad? The shin shel tefillin is for a shel rosh.
The Gemara says you could possibly walk into a bathroom with just the shaliyad.
So, you cover it.
Yeah, because it's covering the...
Now, what would the answer be? You're raising a very good question. The Gemara only said the shin shel tefillin. So maybe I need the Halacha Moshe Mesinai to tell me that the bias of the shel rosh has to be from a kosher animal. And Minamutra B'Ficha tells me that the bias of the shel yad has to be from a kosher animal. Why didn't the Gemara say that? It's a very important question. Nodeb Yehuda discusses that question. Not the Nodeb Yehuda's son. A lot of the tshuvas in the Nodeb Yehuda were written by his son. So Nodeb Yehuda's son in a long tshuva discusses that question. On the simplest level, he would say that we don't find that there are different halachas of batim of shalyan and batim of shal rosh, of what's kosher to use for batim shalyan and batim of shal rosh. That the halachas more or less conform to each other. So it's megale if by batim of shalyan, if by batim of shal rosh, the halacha of Moshe Mesinai tells me that has to be minamut b'ficha, it's got to be that shalyan would have the same halacha. But the kash is better than the answer, I think. Now, one more piece in Gemara before we're able to take this down to halacha a little bit. The sugi in Shabbos Kuf Ches Amud Aleph. Gemara in Shabbos quotes a brisa. Tan Rabbanan, Kosin Tfilin al Gabi Or Behema Tahora, Val Gabi Or Chaya Tahora. You write Tfilin only on kosher animals. Val Gabi Or Nevelus Atrefa Shalem. Then the Gemara adds another important detail. Not just kosher animals, but kosher min, even if it's nevelus and trefus. So if you shoot a cow, you go hunting for cow, they're easy to catch. It's a lot easier than shooting deer. So, or you shoot a deer for that matter, it's also a kosher animal. And you want to use its skin for or its hide for writing tefillin, that's fine. Aye, but it's not kosher. Gemara says it's okay. So the Gemara wants to know, how do we know it's okay?
It's not kosher.
But why is it not kosher? Because it wasn't shechted, it's a nevela. Yeah, so the Gemara quotes the Joshua in Amut B'Ficha. Then about three lines before the end, Elamayata al Gabay Ornevel's Trefus al Yichtavu. Min Amut B'Ficha sounds like it's got to be mutter to put in your mouth. You're not allowed to eat Nevel's and Trefus. So why is it okay to use the hide of Nevel and Trefus? Armalo, Emshalucha, Mashal, Ma'adavardome. So they'll give you a mashal. Classic Nevel is not an animal he shot in the head. Classic Nevel is an animal just died. Died of old age. They're both Nevelos, but that would be a Nevelo. An animal just dead. So l'shnei b'nei adam sh'nischaivu harigol malchus. Let's say you have two people that are chayiv misa. Echad hargo melech ve'echad hargo ispaklitar. Eza mehen meshubach. One was killed by the king and one was killed by just some sort of executioner. Who do you think is the more important person? They're both killed, but who do you think is the more important person, the Gemara says. An interesting mashal. This is which one is more important? Zesh Hargo Melech. The one that the king killed him is more. The king went out of his way, and he's going to make time to kill him? That seems pretty important. So you want to know why a Nevela Trefa is better? Because the king killed the Nevela Trefa. It wasn't a Shochet that killed the Nevela Trefa. Meaning if an animal that's killed by a shochet, you're allowed to use its skin, then kal v'chomer, an animal that's killed by the melech malchayim lachem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're allowed to use its skin. That's the Gemara's answer. So the Gemara says, wow, it's so chashuv when it gets killed by Hashem. You should be allowed to eat that stuff then. If it's so chashuv, it's so important, elamayatza yochlu. Why can't we eat nevelos and trefus? Says Gemara, "HaTorah Amra lo sochu chal nevela." What do you mean? Because the Torah says you can't eat nevela. That's why you can't eat it. But still, it's much more chashuv, and that's why you're allowed to use it for tefillin. This, that, those lines of Gemara give us. Remember, we asked before, what's the svara over here, right? What's the logic? Why can't we? Why do we have to use kosher animals? These lines of Gemara tell us that it matters, that the svara matters, that the logic behind it matters on some level, because these lines of Gemara are saying that. Being a nevela, we don't just look at it with our halachic glasses and say a nevela is an issa d'oraisa, the same way anything else would be an issa d'oraisa. No, it says that there's something about making tashmishei kedusha from something that's degrading, not from something usser, from something degrading. Nevela is usser, but it's not degrading. Pig is degrading for a mitzvah. The svara matters over here. And it's that svar that it's a chutzpah, that it's degrading. How do I know the svar matters? Because halachically, nevela is much worse than a shechted animal. But for tefillin, it makes it sound like it's better to use nevela for tefillin. Better? Why would it be better? Because it's killed by Melech Malchei Hamelachim. It's killed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it sounds like we're not working with whether it's usher or mutter, working with how degrading it is. So this Gemara right here is a very big key in terms of figuring out the sugya. Now, just as a matter of basic halacha, and with this we'll close. Shulchan Aruch writes in Simulam Beis Siflam and Zayin, source number 7. Or habatim tzarech lios me'or behema chayva of tahorim. The or of the batim has to come from kosher animals. Afilu me'nevelo trefa shalhem. Kosher animals, but even a nevela or trefa just has to be from a kosher min. V'rashay lasos miklaf o me'or shalil. V'chena ritzus yachal lasos miklaf o'or shalil. So he says different parts of the animal are all kosher, as long as it's a kosher animal. So what, I don't want to spend too much time on the sugya, but at least one more day I want to spend on the sugya. So tomorrow, my impression is we probably will not be able to get here tomorrow. Maybe Wednesday, maybe Thursday. We'll see what, you know, how, if it's as epic as they say it's going to be. But I want to spend one more day in the sugya. Hopefully by then I'll have more explicit instructions of which parts to look at next. But the Torah Tumima certainly to look at next. Yeah.